Blog Talk Radio. What have we done? Bring you the best of the worst. It's worstofmadness.com.
It's alive!
Live from the pit. We welcome you to step into the...
What have we done?
Alright, screw that. So it's not working.
What's going on, everybody? This is Eric from The Abyss, the most awesome and bad podcast on the internet.
Because we're the most awesome and bad podcast on the internet, we're going to be at Halloween Horror Nights on October 22nd.
We're actually going to be there live with your calls, with your comments, with the blog talk chat, everything you possibly need to geek out about Halloween Horror Nights.
And to make it even better than that, we're going to have a special guest.
Who's gonna be the mystery guest? No one really knows. Will it be someone creative, someone on the street, or just some random guy that's knocking on the door saying, hey, let me be on the show?
We promise one thing, it will be cool.
It'll definitely be awesome.
And hey, knowing us, it could even be bad.
On October 22nd at 7 p.m.,
we'll see you live only on blogtalkradio.com/ABIS or iTunes keyword, Awesome Bands.
And let's try this again.
What have we done?
Bring you the best of the worst. It's worstofmadness.com.
It's alive!
Live from the pit. We welcome you. To step into the abyss.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another really good episode of The Abyss. And guys, you do realize that when the music's playing, we are live. They can't hear us.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it kind of throws out that whole magic of radio kind of deal out the window.
I figured it screwed up the magic of radio since we started. Like, when it messed up the first three times, I thought the magic was done.
I enjoyed that struggle that we made for 45 minutes to record. And it's like a minute. Well, it's so specific for Ace and Paul from...
Yay for post-production.
Yay for post-production.
And yay for Nick Hudson, our production specialist. So,
yes.
Anyway, welcome to The Abyss. Thanks for joining in. For those of you who are not live, well, shame on you. For those of you that are live, you can call in at 347-237-5266. That's the number to hit us up live on the air. And, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun this week. This week we are talking comics, but first we have some huge-ass announcements. If you didn't really catch what the promo said,
play it again.
No, don't.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
So we are going to, huge announcement, very huge announcement. We do it live every week, so the fact that we're going to be live is no big deal in 2 weeks. But on October 22nd, we are going to be live at Universal Orlando's Halloween Horror Nights.
I am so excited.
It's less of a when the hell and where the hell are we kind of thing, a reverse on the Back to the Future, if you will.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Very much so. I just realized something. We lost Bruce again.
He's been gone for the last 10 minutes. So.
Has he?
I wanted to just be quiet.
I know. I was all on Twitter to get his complete reaction of and have him just blabber all over the place, and I heard
I heard he was in the second version of the second play of the actual ordinary intro, so he was there mocking it, so he heard the promo.
Okay, so he heard the promo.
Yeah.
So anyway, yes, we will be live at Universal Orlando's Halloween Horror Nights on October 22nd. Probably around 7 o'clock, so you're definitely going to want to listen. If you're in the park, let us know. And you can do that by hitting me up personally at yates@hotmail.com, or you can even hit us up at the Awesome Badness site at contact@awesomebadness.com. And be sure to check out the site. The guys have been putting a lot of great work into it, a lot of great articles. Really a good time. And
now for about a horrible movie called Crossbones, which has no video of it on the internet until I showed up and ripped it off my DVD because it's such a bad movie. It'll be the first video article on the internet or on our website. So that's pretty cool.
That is. You'll be the archive no matter what happens.
Yeah.
You're the original.
Yeah, and I hope that the webmaster doesn't get sued for that, so.
Well, he won't, believe me.
Because nobody cares about the goddamn movie.
Yeah, I promise you. No one will. And if they do, I'll just take it off of YouTube.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, this week, we're
gone completely.
Completely gone.
Oh well.
Another bomb hit Bruce, it'll be okay.
And moving on.
And we are moving on. This week we are talking comic books. Now, why are we talking comic books? For the past, 4 weeks we've been talking horror and theme parks and horror music and everything.
Because that's what we do, you know?
Yeah. Because it's our goddamn show, we can talk about whatever we want. Thank you very much.
Quit getting used to us.
That's right. Just when you think you're safe, bam, we hit you in the nuts.
I love how the title was not just for geeks and we move on to comic books.
I know.
Right? We're stretching out the boundaries, folks.
Well, actually, comic books these days are not just for geeks. Comic books are so mainstream. Manga, yeah, we do... I don't know. I don't really dig into manga or Japanese comics too much myself. I'm a flat-out, straight Marvel kind of guy, even some DC thrown in there. Love me some Batman. So when they took Dark Knight and turned it into, or when they took The Killing Joke, I should say, and turned it into Dark Knight, starring the late, great Heath Ledger, you want to talk about one ecstatic character. I mean, I had low hopes for it because I remember Tim Burton's Batman from, 1990, and it was just so cheeseball and camp.
Oh, hold on. Shut your mouth. That was a great movie for its time. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. I am not knocking it.
No, you just said it was cheeseball. So what's it say about you?
I am not completely knocking it at all.
It was cheeseball, Scott. It was campy, but in a good way. It was a different vision. Just like the original 60s version was obviously really intentionally, okay, kids, I'm a guy in tights cheeseball with Adam West. It was an in-between. It was darker, but it was stunt show Batman. It was
a reflection of the time. I mean,
it was
in the 90s.
For that time, it was a really dark movie.
Oh, yeah. I like Batman Returns more, but that's going to the sequel. That was still Burton. I like the Penguin. I like Danny DeVito. The Penguin scared me as a kid.
Well,
more than the joke.
Guy with a busted nose.
Yeah, that's to freak me out as a kid. I would hold my nose in the middle.
Yeah. But it's those kind of comics that have been hiding way back in the background for years upon years. I mean, when I was a kid, I remember reading all kinds of different comics such as all the old Incredible Hulk, and you know what really cheeses me right now? My grandfather had a buttload of comics, like a huge box full of comics, and I remember things like the Incredible Hulk, X-Men, even some Batman and Superman. I'm talking classic vintage stuff from when my uncles and my dad were like real little kids, so you know that stuff, had he held on to it, would have been worth tons.
Oh, yeah.
At least $10.
Yeah, at least.
Definitely more than he got it for.
Definitely more than what the stock market's going for right now.
Oh, man, it's really in the crapper right now, and that scares the crap out of me.
Yeah. So, that means no good superhero movies! And possibly in a failing country. But,
well, speaking of comic books related to stock markets, before Iron Man came out, I bought a bunch of stock in the Marvel shareholder, the MLB side. And when Iron Man came out, we had 100 shares of Marvel, And, you know, we made $1,000. And, I mean, that's pretty good for making it off of a movie. You little Alex P. Keaton, you.
Oh, I watched Mad Money with Jim Cramer.
Who was
Iron Man? So you knew I had to do some of the stock.
Jim Cramer's the man. That's all I can say. You were speaking about older comic books. I like how, like, The Watchmen was pretty much a tribute to older comic books.
Yes.
There's the Vigilantes of the time, and then it goes, yeah.
They're not exactly old comic books, but it's an end to that era. It really feels like an end to that era. I'm really excited to see what they do with the movie.
Yeah, and you want to talk about something like that, I really wish B was on, because he is, like, the aforementioned complete.
It's so much to talk about. He drops off the show.
Yeah. He is like the ultimate authority when it comes to not only comic books, but specifically Alan Moore comic books, graphic novels, excuse me.
Graphics, yeah.
And, I mean, just the cult following, and not even so much the cult following that has followed The Watchmen, but just the following, the flat-out following that's followed The Watchmen, it's just unbelievable. And they've tried to make it, and it's just completely fallen by the wayside because of whatever reason, because of actors or directors or even just bad screenplays. And if you don't know what The Watchmen is, I see some people in Blog Talk Radio chat. The Watchmen is basically like an anti-superhero movie. It's what happens when people, kind of like The Incredibles, where superheroes exist, but it's what happens when superheroes get sick of being superheroes.
And just use their power for whatever they feel like.
Right. Completely like what I would do. And in a lot of ways, Marvel has been doing that lately with a lot of their characters, such as, I don't know, like, that's where a lot of the great villains come from. Like.
And then Hancock took that kind and spoofed it with him doing his own thing.
Right.
Getting drunk, not caring anymore, not worth the trouble.
That was a pretty decent movie up to the end.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. I was really happy with that until the very, very end, where it was just like, well, sure, let me throw off the pacing of this film and just go someplace differently.
Two ideas, and we'll put them together at the end.
Yeah.
like you said, it's really amazing how some of this stuff becomes so mainstream. And I know with some geeks like myself, they'll have this little spite against it. Like, man, I liked that before it was that cool, before it was that popular. And, you know, like us, you know, the only people and dorks that would only know the Killing Joke. And then you have, well, 6 years ago, who would really heard of Hellboy but the hardcore fans? I mean, it's such a different story. And I mean, granted, the movies aren't as big as Dark Knight, but they've had two, you know, pretty successful movies now. I mean, everybody knows the character and the face.
Well, let's be honest. They had one real big hit movie. Hellboy 2, yeah. I love the movie, don't get me wrong, great
movie. It wasn't even a big successful movie, the first one. It was a lower budget, so it did much better than expected.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was successful in that terms, but it's not going to be as popular as Batman will still reign out, and Spider-Man is always going to be big with the kids. But for a small comic that nobody heard of, as far as pop culture, you know that red face, you know the horns cut off as Hellboy.
It's a great art style, too. I mean, the story is really out there, and I'm really happy that the guy who directed it, like, is really, he's a great director. Del Toro, the guy who's doing The Wolfman, he's a very good director. And
Scott, let me stop.
The guy who's doing Frankenstein.
Yeah. Actually, he's, you're thinking of Benicio Del Toro, the director of, that's the actor. Director is Guillermo.
I can never say his name. I apologize.
But, the different Del Toro director. Yeah.
And that guy's just flat out busy. I mean, he's got not only a third Hellboy possibly in the works, but a Frankenstein remake way down the line. He's also got the two Lord of the Ring prequel sequels of The Hobbit and its sequel. And I mean, this guy's just nonstop busy, and I'm really interested to see what he does with all of those properties, because he just has this unbelievable, twisted, yet childlike mind that really, a lot of his stuff came out in Hellboy 2. A lot of his designs and characters and story ideas just came out in Hellboy 2 without a lot of restraint and without a lot of restriction, and it was just unbelievable. He took a lot of the stuff from the comics and just kind of grew on it.
He expanded the universe that was read upon, and he really continued it.
Well, speaking of expanding the universe, and I can do this pretty well, my favorite comics is actually based on a movie, Army of Darkness. They're not really written that well, but they continue the stories of Ash and how he goes through the world. And, I mean, like the video games, they're not that great, but they're still a lot of fun to read. And
it's a great piece of fan fiction right there
for
the fans.
Except that, you know, no one's getting up the butt, you know? It's a lot.
Yeah.
I made a hand gesture when I was saying that. I can't see, but you could imagine what it would be like. But I mean,
oh, yeah.
Bruce, before he signed off from our podcast here, he was saying something about a CSI comic book.
I have no idea.
But you know, there's a market for it somewhere, I'm sure. I mean, obviously, the fans of the show. I was waiting for it.
I know, I kept getting this little hint. Sorry, guys.
It's like, when is this coming? I wanted to make a David Caruso joke. David Caruso is the best. We should get him on the show. I'm sure he's not doing anything.
I always remember that line from South Park. Do your impersonation of David Caruso's career.
And he jumps off, he does
yeah.
Notice me, he jumps off and does a dive into the snow.
But I mean, and there's literally, especially these days with better, you know, printing companies and smaller guys getting better opportunities at places like Comic-Con, where there's safe haven for geeks and dorks. You have things for everybody. Like Marvel even went into Marvel Zombies trying a little horror edge with it.
Yeah. It's a fun series, too. I mean,
yeah, they have a crossover with Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness, even though the ending of that is terrible. It ends the exact same way as the original Marvel Zombies, but he goes into a different universe with his werewolves. But Bruce Campbell makes fun of Dr. Doom in it, and he's like, what are you talking about? I'm Dr. Doom.
Hold on. Yeah, just that's the announcement that B Square is back in the house. So
sorry, guys, having trouble with my my this computer. See, I do live in a cave, so the cable lines aren't.
Those walls are pretty thick for Wi-Fi.
Exactly, and wireless. You know, you have to stand outside the cave and you know get the tree and
the hamsters don't live so fast.
It's true. It's very true.
So.
Anyway, talking about Marvel Zombies, I got to tell you, when I first saw Marvel Zombies, I thought they were kidding. I thought it was a joke, right? I mean, it was kind of a joke, but I had no idea that they were actually going to flesh it out into a series. And not only that, it's one of the most successful series. Pun absolutely not intended there. They were going to make it into a whole series that it was going to be as popular as it has. But I saw the funniest damn thing. It was running in, I forgot exactly what comic I saw it in. But remember, you've got to go way back with me here. Remember back when in the back Marvel comic book, there would be an ad for like Hostess Cupcakes or Hostess Twinkies, and they would have the character. For instance, you're reading a Captain America book. That'd be like a little comic strip with Captain America and Bucky save the Hostess fruit pies.
Yeah.
I remember that. Well, there was a like a takeoff on one of those in the back of one of the Marvel Zombies books.
Yeah.
Except it was instead of Hostess Twinkies, it was like children. Enjoy children. And the Captain America, one of the Marvel Zombies is chopping on a little girl's arm, and he says, "I can taste their tears." And it was disturbing in a way, but it was also, you know, brilliant. And that's the kind of stuff that I enjoy. Well, there you go.
And moving on with zombies and comics, there's one I was trying to think of the name again. I've read like two issues. Is it Among the Dead with the two guys who aren't? That might be it. The two guys aren't infected, but they try to blend in.
Yes,
kind
Walking
of like
Dead.
The whole comedy factor. That was a pretty cool concept. That was like before Shaun of the Dead and all that. So, I mean, it was
just that comic book. It was pretty good.
Well, the thing about zombies is they're just getting, I mean, they're getting so old. I mean, what else can you do with zombies? I mean, how many more permutations of zombies can you possibly be put through? We've had plague zombies and Romero zombies and zombies that run fast and zombies that run slow and zombies.
For me, as a geek, it doesn't matter as long as they're zombies. I mean, what else do you need? They don't need a motive. They're just monsters. They're human monsters. And that's
zombies eat brains and zombies that don't eat brains and zombies that sometimes eat brains. And zombies are terrible.
And Romero zombies, they're actually making the new George A. Romero Island of the Dead.
Great.
Stuck on an island. They missed the ferry from Slaughter Island, and they have to deal with a bunch of zombies on the island, so they're kind of stuck. I think that's good.
I thought that's where they were going to go with the remake.
It can be good, but, you know, George, if you're out there, I'm sure George Romero is listening to us right now. And George,
please,
stop making the zombie flicks. Seriously.
Shut up your mouth. You don't know what you're talking about. Diary of the Dead was a mistake. I did not see it, so I haven't. I cannot say anything about it. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that.
It wasn't that bad.
One fluke. One fluke.
No, it actually wasn't that bad. I'm just tired of zombie flicks. That's all.
Yeah, I got to agree with you there. And Marvel Zombies, that's when you know that you are pretty much played out, when comic books start making fun of it and taking stuff like that and running.
But I could say the same thing for superheroes. I mean, do you fly? Don't you fly? You got a utility belt, don't you? I mean, it's all been done. It's kind of like trying to come up with a cool band name. Oh, man, that's kind of taken. That's already half a band name already. Well, shit.
Or trying to come up with a new podcast name, yeah.
This one kind of sounds like the last never.
Awesome Badness. Wow. I just took 30 seconds to come up with that. Yeah, great. Yeah.
Something we want
to not that I don't like real zombies. I love my flesh-eating pals. I think they're great. But if I want a zombie flick, I can just go get one. There are so many already.
Yeah.
What can you do with zombies that is new? What can you do with that subject, with The Walking Dead, that I've not seen before? That's fine.
It's this season's movie. It's Halloween time movie, but I don't know if I want to read a comic book about them all year long. You know what I mean?
So having said that, I've never read Walking Dead. I hear it's really good. It's been recommended to me many times.
Yeah, it was always in Fangoria, and I thought it was a fun concept, so I just read a couple. I thought it was...
Well, horror comics aren't really my favorite. I read 30 Days of Night, and I just, you know, I just...
the movie I thought was actually better than the graphic.
I did too, and a lot of people will probably hate us for saying that.
Yeah, but the vampires in the movie were different and looked kick-ass with the razor-sharp teeth.
Vampires, see, that's another subject that's been... completely worn out. I mean, what else can you do? We have vampires that can walk in the daytime, vampires that can't walk in the daytime.
How many graphic novels are there? Quite a bit on, I don't know too much, but I imagine there's quite a bit of graphic novels and comic books on those too.
Oh, tons. Are you kidding?
I mean, because the Anne Rice girls are all over that romantic side and the mystique, and it's all there in the Gothica thing. I mean,
yeah, I prefer my vampires like 30 Days of Night. Just
vicious, big jaws, razor sharp teeth. They're there to kill you and hunt you down. And unlike zombies, they're smart.
The fuckers at White Wolf. They ruined the whole thing.
Speaking of, you know, horror and connecting comics again, because we tend to be on horror, because, you know, but the season...
It's still on time.
Yeah, we're just tangenting, just like a spoof. But going back, I mean, Tales from the Crypt was a comic book.
Yes, it was.
And you know what's really cool about that? Every actual episode of the TV show was based on a comic.
Right. Not a lot of people know that. Yes, that's true.
Except for the shitty new ones.
It might be based on a comic and everything, but that doesn't make them good episodes. Most of those episodes were pretty poopy.
Well, they were fun. The cameos. Like, John Lovitz is in this one. That's great. And you have Arnold Schwarzenegger next to the Crypt Keeper. I mean, I watched it purely for the camp. I was up at, you know, in the middle of the night at 5 years old watching HBO.
Dude, the guy that made the Crypt Keeper, made the puppet for the Crypt Keeper, I don't even know his name, but he was from
Okay, he's from,
I have no idea, but the guy who made the Crypt Keeper, the actual design for the puppet,
right,
was from Kettering, Ohio, and my dad lived pretty much like three streets down from him. And he would put the Crypt Keeper out every Halloween, and a lot of times he would forget to put them back, and he would do stuff like throw Christmas lights on him and put a Santa hat on him and all that kinds of crap. Scared the living.
He didn't have eBay back then.
I know, right? Scared the living crap out of my sister.
I mean, if that was one of the original really articulate puppets or animatronic pneumatic. I mean, the lip movement, not the tangent too far, but the lip movement in that thing was brilliant. And one more note, the guy is also famous for the original Child's Play Chucky design, which isn't quite as impressive in general, but the first one was pretty good. The angry face, you know, just. But
yeah, I have angry face.
But, I mean, it just, yeah, the guy, well, Red of Rick Baker is one of those horror geniuses. But,
I was going off about last week, he's one of the guys that actually built stuff as opposed to just, like, you know.
Yeah, it's a creature shop. It's not, I have an iMac. I have a Mac. not CGI. I bought a MacBook, and now I'm going to play around with the program. Don't get me wrong, those guys have talent. But, yeah, and you want to talk about how much of an impact Tales from the Crypt had. Stephen King and Romero, I mean, they loved to spoof that stuff with Creepshow.
Yeah.
That was a whole take on it. I mean, it was just that style. And
that
Creatures,
was...
Creed, how about Creatures? That took that whole concept and
well, we won't go there with Creatures. We honestly will not go there with Creatures because decent house, but just not as cool as the comic book on the website was. But getting back to the comic books a little bit, especially like the horror comics, now, when the Blair Witch Project came out, I know, crappy movie, but I was kind of sold along with everybody else. And I picked up, and I'm actually thumbing through it right now, the Blair Witch comic book. And
is there one page with like close-up panels of that chick's nostrils?
Yes, actually there is. I'm not kidding.
Is it based on the story? Because, like, you know, they made a second one, Book of Shadows, and they made three games, which were licensed by God originally, and they gave it to Activision, I think. And they were like, here, God came down and was like, well, you can have the rights to the Blair Witch Project.
So at any point in any of these, does a Blair Witch just show the hell up? Does she show up? Does she say what's up, dude? What's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
Does the battery on the camera ever die? On the camera, does the battery ever die?
Actually, the comic book is really good, and it really freaked the living crap out of me, because back in those days, my wife worked nights, and I was here pretty much by myself, completely at night, all alone, and I would sit up all night like a little kid reading the damn comic book.
Flashlight.
Yeah, flashlight under the covers and, you know, covering up, hiding from the monsters, but... No, it really screwed with me because it took that Blair Witch
adaptation.
The comic book adaptation of it really screwed with me because they went back and told the story of the Blair Witch and actually went into pretty good detail about it.
Well, yeah, let's face it. I mean, the backstory for that movie was freaky. They did a good job with that.
Yeah.
Making you believe there's actually a legend of this in some local small community when it was all BS. I mean, it was really genius.
But that doesn't – I don't care about the movie. But it goes back with the movie. I mean, it just kind of ties into the movie. They go back to the Rustin Parr house in the movie. Well, in the comic book, they show you who Rustin Parr was and how he was kind of possessed by the spirit of the Blair Witch.
I mean, they should have done that in the film, and I would have liked it.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a completely freaky ass.
More money was spent on the first issue than the entire movie. Of the comic, probably more thought and money was put in.
Does the story go back to the 1700s?
Yeah,
just making sure because that was cool. I mean, I like that kind of stuff. I like reading the old stuff coming from.
Well, I need to get a hold of that because all I ever saw in the film was some stick figures and some snot, some phlegm, and that's all. That's it. That's what throws it into theater. Right there. Oh my God!
And you can get both of those things if you just babysit or teach a kindergarten class,
or hang out with us at Halloween Horror Nights on October 22nd. So,
You want to draw me a
picture?
Oh, yes. That's going to be great. Can't wait for that. Live show. Live. We're going to be live.
I was playing
the Nordic. And get this, y'all. Is there anybody listening at all? It doesn't matter. They're giving us a broadcast suite. They're giving us professional access to all this crap. And, y'all, we have no idea what we're doing. This is going to be a cluster of major purple portions. You don't want to miss it.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're really looking forward to it. We don't know what's going to happen, so that's why you want to tune in.
No, we don't. We never do, though, do we?
No, we have no idea.
You find out when you do, and that's the beauty of life.
Exactly. And with that, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, more comic book stuff.
This is the Essential Theme Park and Attraction Podcast.
CentralPassPodcast.com.
This is where you get the information straight from the mouth of the creators of the parks and attractions you love to visit. Join a cast of experts
every week on an informative experience into the world of rides, attractions, and parks.
Pick up your season pass every Tuesday morning over at CentralPassPodcast.com.
Or you can subscribe to us through iTunes. Keyword season pass.
CentralPassPodcast.com.
More than ride.
Hi, this is Nick Hudson from Musical Talk, the UK's independent musical theatre podcast. If you're a fan of all things Broadway and West End, this is the show for you. We've had such guests as Alan Menken, William David Brown, Stephen Sondheim, Jerry Herman, Stephen Schwartz, Johnny Depp, Helena Bonham Carter, Tim Burton, Alan Rickman, Mark Shaiman, William Finn, George Stiles and Anthony Drew, Julian Fellowes, Summer Stranon, Jeff Marks, Jared Alessandrini, Stephanie J. Block, and Richard Thomas. The show features a varied team of presenters and contributors from all over the world, including writers, producers, lyricists, book writers, directors, actors, and singers. So check us out at www.musicaltalk.co.uk or just hit us up on iTunes at keyword musical talk. We'll see you on stage.
Say, do you like action movies?
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Comedies?
Oh, knockers.
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
Movies so bad that they're great.
I want to break every beautiful bone in your body.
Do you think Steven Seagal gets screwed out of an Oscar every year?
Nobody beats me in the kitchen.
If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to check out the Kick-Ass Movie Podcast.
Do it now.
A new movie every week from two college kids with way too much time on their hands.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Check them out online at kickassmoviepodcast.com or myspace.com/kickassmoviepodcast.
Are you ready for action?
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious...
Are you ready for... romance?
You know, you may be the first attractive woman I've not wanted to sleep with in my entire life.
Are you ready for horror?
Alive!
Are you ready for Pat McCabe? What? Then you're ready for the action-packed podcast that will scare you silly. You're ready to take a walk in the park. Join Pat McCabe every week as he shows you around the amusement world in his weekly podcast, A Walk in the Park Podcast. You can check out the podcast at www.awalkinthepark.podomatic.com. If you're ready to take a walk on the wild side, then you're ready for A Walk in the Park Podcast, hosted by Pat McCabe.
He's a very strange young man.
He's an idiot. Comes from upbringing. Parents are probably idiots too.
Batman, dead at age 42.
Batman, it's not good. Get the hell out of here.
This sound is kind of more good.
Actually, the latest storyline in the Batman comic is called Batman R.I.P. It's like a major story arc that's going over all the issues of Batman. And it's rumored that at the end of this story arc, Batman will die.
Oh, who called?
They're already taking bets, laying odds in the latest issue of Wizard as to who's going to replace him. I'm pulling for Richard Simmons.
And I will beat you, you bad guy. Oh, stop! Don't eat that cheesecake!
Look at those funny love handles, you Joker.
He's right. You can't kill Batman. It's like telling you couldn't kill Superman. You can't kill Batman. It's like trying to kill Mickey Mouse.
Why don't they just do what they always did in the animated series and comics and kill Robin a million times?
That's fun. Killing Robin is lovely.
Yeah, just keep bringing a different kid in, you know?
But what if Disney did this promotion, you know, where Mickey Mouse, God, you know, today in Disney World, Mickey Mouse dies. Not a hoax. Not an imaginary story. Mickey Mouse dies, you know, and they have the funeral for Mickey and everything, and then, you know, 50 other characters try to replace, like Goofy tries to replace him and shit.
So, totally random. If you want to see a kid cry, go to Fantasmic, and at the end, when the sparks fly with Mickey at the top go, he blew up. Kids just cry. Because you never see him after that, and I've heard of people getting fired for crap. Pretty funny, though. Anyway.
Mickey did! Oh, my God!
Yeah,
that's the one thing about comic books. It doesn't matter what happens.
Captain America! Captain America! Continuity is only there when they want it to be.
Right. I mean, there's always some way to bring back a character. Superman died. And not only did he come back, he came back in, like, what? 5 different versions of himself. In 5 different comic books,
I might add.
Let me remind you that Batman has already died once, or at least everybody thought that Batman died once, because Bane broke his back, and then he was... you guys have no idea about this. Most what everybody knows is from the animated series, which were very good. Most of them were done by... written and designed and everything else by Frank Miller, who did a very good job with them. However...
The animated series?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Frank Miller worked on the animated series? That was Paul Dini, wasn't it?
No, that was Frank Miller. The one that came out in the 90s, Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, that which is one of the best visual depictions of Batman ever.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't know that Frank Miller had anything to do with it. Well, there you go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He directed and wrote a whole bunch of this stuff. It was right after his stint with the Batman and his whole Dark Knight Returns saga.
Right.
Yeah.
Now he's actually directing now, you know, he's doing The Spirit.
Yeah, and The Spirit, if you guys have no idea what The Spirit was, and you probably don't, it was a Will Eisner, a lot of people say masterpiece, I don't know.
I don't know much of the story, but from the trailer I get a real Dick Tracy kind of vibe from it.
Yeah, it really is Dick Tracy, yes. I never was a huge Eisner fan. Everybody tries to tell me that he's the greatest artist, greatest sequential storyteller of all time. I've read The Spirit. It was like Batman crossed with Lil Abner. You know, it was okay, I guess. I don't see what the hoopla is. He's one of those artists that only other artists really, really like, you know?
Right.
And the movie looks really artsy-fartsy. I'm looking forward to it.
It looks like Sin City Redux is what it looks like. And now there is a movie that was just completely true to the comic book form, and that's in Frank Miller's Sin City. Frank Miller got an uncredited co-director spot on that, and it was really good. I'm speaking alone here, but I really like that.
Took that a step further with 300, which, if you're familiar with the comic version of 300, there were many, the majority of shots in that film were taken directly off the comic.
Yeah, go, even if you had to go to the bookstore, pick up the book and look inside, the graphic novel it's a storyboard. It's right there for him just like it should be.
Exactly.
That's why comic book movies can work so well most of the time. It's a storyboard. They do anyway.
Now, let's talk a little bit about comic book movies that don't work. And before I get into it, before you guys go on a tangent, because I know you are, I just want to, before we start,
Wait.
All right. 5 minutes remaining in the show. If you
just handed it into a tangent.
If you call in at 347-237-5266 with any questions or comments, we will take your call. Also, on the blogtalkradio.com chat boards, we have a question from Hikaru. She wants to know about Netherworld in Atlanta.
I'm going there. That's all I can tell you about it right now. I'll be there. I think the 20th or the 21st of this month.
The 20th.
Thank you. You see, Eric knows my schedule better than me. Yes, and I will go there, and I will report back, and I will both on the air and on the site. I will write a long review, and I will also jabber on about it live.
But from what we've heard about it, Hikaru, it is the best.
It's supposed to be really, really intense. It's supposed to be just you know, like it lasts longer than a regular Halloween Horror Night Tap House. It'll go on for like 15, 20 minutes, and it's supposed to be just brutal intensity the whole way through. And
they can touch you and cuss at you and everything else.
Yeah.
So.
I can't wait.
The thing I look forward to the most of those kinds of things that aren't Halloween Horror and 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 Halloween Horror, that instantly makes it better if they can group you.
Okay.
Well, did your voice just stick for you guys too?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, great. I thought it was just me.
Oh, yeah. Your voice just stuck for like 5 seconds. It was great.
What is that?
Like,
you sound like Max
Hedger.
Anyway, to get back to Netherworld, there's a special on the Travel Channel that featured Netherworld as one of the segments in the it was a special on various haunts that weren't major, weren't theme park related, and they touched on a bunch of different ones. But if you want to go to YouTube and just enter Netherworld, you can probably call that up, and that's what made me want to go.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, the only complaint I've ever heard about that place. Am I sticking again?
Okay.
No.
The only complaint I've ever. The thing I was saying when it stuck, I don't know if you heard, but just the fact that they can group you instantly makes it better than the Halloween Horror Nights atmosphere. And the fact that any haunt that's not that popular, if they just wait 20 seconds at least and give you something personal. But the only complaint I've ever
heard. The sets, the makeup appliances, the actors wear the costumes.
They're so passionate about their characters.
Better.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I mean, and you look at the only complaint I've ever remotely even heard about that place, and it was just sort of a well, I wish kind of complaint, was that it was too much pneumatics and not enough live actors at times.
Right.
So anyway, we are just about out of time. Comic book movies that did not work.
Punisher.
The original Punisher.
Howard the Duck,
the original Punisher.
That's what you call a classic right there, Howard the Duck.
Yeah. Spider-Man 3.
Bruce Tim, Howard the Duck in the Army Darkness versus Marvel Zombies.
I just want you to know that. But
there is a zombie in Howard the Duck, yes, I recall. I actually believe the zombie Howard the Duck is in that Fake Hoax's ad, too, that I mentioned way earlier. So you see how I go back to you? I close the circle there.
Well, Spider-Man 3 was an atrocity. The dance scene was the best part of the movie, and Bruce Campbell.
Got it.
Well, Bruce Campbell's always good. Yeah, Spider-Man 3 sucked.
So good. Her lips, it tastes like cherries, like strawberries.
Mm. All right. Calm
down there, Scott.
That'll happen, buddy.
But touching on why Spider-Man 3 sucked, you know, Sam Raimi gave the fans what they kept wanting in the studios, like, we got to do this for the fans because they want Venom.
What? Yeah, Sam Raimi gave the fans what they wanted at the end of the studio. Completely sucked when they do that. And that's about it. That's all the time we got for this week. Next week, join us as we pull another show completely out of our ass. Make sure you check it out at offspadness.com. check us out at offspadness.com if you have any questions or comments. Hit us up at contact@offspadness.com. And until then, make your stuff into the abyss. Can't wait till next time.
Stanger knows up there to make you evil.
Funny. Read the fun dialogue and look at the pretty pictures.
Take these shirts in my ass.
Better than putting one back to you.
That is awesome.
great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.